Listeners, welcome to Critical Talk, the official podcast of Critical Gamer. I am Brian. You've probably never heard my voice before because no one listens to my podcast, but hopefully
Untrue. Your voice has been on Critical Gamer before.
That's right. I've done audio features there, but never before this podcast. So, Steven, you are one of my panelists today. You have done this podcast before.
Hello, yes. I interrupt people, and I've been the host in the past.
Right. And why is it coming back now?
It's coming back now because we never really intended for it to stop. We just sort of, I don't know, got busy and lazy, and it just couldn't come together.
Are you telling me you procrastinated? That is so unlike you.
Well, I'm not telling you so much as you're inferring that from my words.
Right. And also we're hearing it.
Yeah, that too.
And if it sounds like I'm having a conversation with myself and one British person, Stephen is my brother, so try not to get us confused too much. Luke is not my brother, though. Hello, Luke.
Hello. I can confirm I'm not his brother.
Oh. We're pretty sure. I've never actually looked into it.
So far as I know.
Yeah.
So you are, what, editor-in-chief of Critical Gamer? Owner? Overlord?
All of these things and so much more.
Okay, gotcha. And also joining us is Critical Gamer's new superstar, Sean.
Hello!
Of Arabia, apparently. I didn't know that. See, I thought he was British.
Not really.
Oh, not really. Gotcha.
Half German, I suppose.
Cool.
Yep.
I like to think I'm German.
And now, Luke was on the old podcasts a lot, by the way, as you listeners might remember, but not so for Sean. This is his first audio appearance.
I know, it's like you're popping my cherry. Sorry, was that maybe?
All right, he should probably stay out.
I don't like this illusion anymore.
Yeah. All right. So, Critical Talk has gone through some changes. Mainly, I just came up with a new format for it. The old one, what was it, Steven? You came up with it before.
What was what? The format?
Yeah.
We would talk about games we recently played. We'd bring up some news. It changed a couple of times throughout, but it was, I don't know, it was standard podcasty stuff. We had some cool segments like 5-word reviews, which was fun.
Gotcha. So I wanted to do something a little different from what a lot of podcasts do, which is instead of, you know, talk about news and talk about games we've been playing and, you know, the traditional podcast repertoire, I wanted to go into something a little more in depth, since I think Critical Gamer is a home of the intellectual. I mean,
okay.
For the most part.
Yes, I like to call it my home.
Exactly. See, all right, so...
My home of modesty as well, I'd like to say.
Yeah, both. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of delve into a single topic more in depth instead of kind of jumping all over the place. So we might tackle religion in games one week, we might tackle Luke's ego another week, we might tackle...
Just one podcast?
Well, that's a 5-part.
The podcast talking about all religions will be one podcast, but Luke's ego will have to be at least 3.5.
Exactly. And so on. So I'm sure people will get the gist of it as we go on through future episodes. Today's topic is going to be villains in games. Again, something very close to Luke's heart.
Yes. Yes, that's true, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Good. So to start that out, I thought I'd start with the simple question that should begin all such conversations, which is, what is a villain?
Now that's a deep, eternal question, my brother. One that people have been trying to discuss and delve into since before mankind could write. And probably before womankind could write, too.
That's really not an answer.
Okay, but I'm thinking of my answer. And here's what I think the answer is.
Okay. I've got an answer if you want me to just go ahead, but...
Well, can I give my answer?
You can.
I'm a participant.
You are a participant.
That's really
listeners,
nice.
Listeners, just before we started recording, would you believe we were talking about Steven's habit of procrastination?
No, it's that is totally a far-fetched notion.
Unbelievable.
Now go.
All right. Here's my definition of a villain.
Okay.
I think it would be a character who, by definition of his or her role in the world, has to be there to make other people have a bad time. I don't think you can be a villain all by yourself. I don't think people will qualify you as a villain if you're being evil to yourself. If you're threatening to, you know, throw yourself off a ledge, you're not a villain, you're just, you know, unstable.
Okay. So I had my own definition, which differs slightly from that. Now, I think a villain is a person who stands in opposition to the story's sense of morality. because an antagonist is a person who opposes the protagonist. But that has nothing to do with the morality of the story. That mm-hmm. just has to do with who the story is following.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a villain is someone who is seen as opposing whatever the story's sense of morality is. Because a villain can be the protagonist, but obviously the story is acknowledging that the villain is a villain.
Do you not think that there could be multiple characters in the story with multiple senses of morality and multiple villains who are villainous in different ways? Like, what if the story doesn't have some, like, overarching...
Well, that's a question I was going to ask later.
Oh.
but we can go to that now, which is if that definition is correct, then would a villain cease to exist if a story is morally neutral or has no sense of morality?
No.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. All right. Is that a serious answer?
What was the question again?
okay. All right.
Sorry. Did we wake you up?
I'm just being lulled sort of into a false sense of security.
Yeah. You think you're not going to get asked any questions? Well,
yeah.
We are. Yes. So the question is, I'll back up here a second. If the definition of a villain being a character who is in opposition to the story's morality is true, then would a villain cease to exist? Like, could a villain exist in a story that is morally neutral or has no particular moral framework?
I suppose so. I mean, there are villains which are doing things not to be particularly evil, but they will do something that is evil despite them thinking what they're doing is good.
I sort of feel like it's the perspective of another character.
Yeah.
At least to a large extent, like, maybe, oh man, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to think of an example off the top of my head, but you could have someone who is trying to do something that is neutral, or maybe even kind of noble-ish to him, but it's affecting this little dude who lives in a little village so much that he sees it as evil, and if you're following him for
a
while...
You're getting into antagonist now.
See... What I explained was basically what the premise of the character that I was thinking of when you said villains in games, the one which stands out mm-hmm. to me as the best villain. I'll get to that later, but right. That's the thing.
All right, so what do you think, Luke?
Well, the problem is because writing in games is generally quite rubbish, it's very difficult. sad but true. It's difficult to think of some good examples you could actually highlight this with.
It's such a hard problem with that, yeah.
Although, this did actually make me think of To the Moon, and I absolutely hate talking about To the Moon, because I just think it's one of the most beautifully crafted pieces of writing in any medium, and I hate the idea of ruining it for anybody. But there is a point...
I haven't played it yet.
So, don't worry, I'm not in any way going to spoil it, but...
All right, go ahead then.
There are two... You play as, in theory, you play with two characters, and toward the end, one of the characters have been together. One of them is on their way to an area where the other is waiting, and they both have opposing intentions, although the consequences of their actions almost but not quite meet in the middle afterwards. And there's a line afterwards where one says to the other, "This doesn't make it right, you know." And... it's just such a deep and complex game, but that's the best and pretty much only example in games I can think of. And like I say, I can't really explain it without spoiling the story, which I'm not going to do.
So it sounds to me almost like To the Moon doesn't have a villain. It just has people with different perspectives.
It does, and that's what makes it such a brilliant, brilliant piece of writing. It's a game that looks like an old SNES RPG, but it's got very, very human, real characters.
Right. It's not just Ganondorf and Link. Or Bowser and Mario?
Absolutely not.
And I guess that's the distinction between the antagonist and the villain, where
right.
more often the good villains are actually just antagonists, because yes, they're stopping the hero or right. the other characters from accomplishing their goals, but they have goals of their own, and if you start following them around for a bit, you might start seeing them as the heroes. So
right,
maybe
right.
a villain is someone who's painted as the bad guy of the story, and who like 90% of the audience will want to fail because they're clearly in the wrong and they might very well know it.
Yeah, I think a story has to have some sort of moral framework or idea for a villain to exist instead of, you know, just an antagonist existing or a different viewpoint existing.
I see where you're coming from.
Doesn't have a goal, then they can't be a villain.
Exactly. That's another important thing. And something else that's obviously important is that a villain is dependent on the story's morality, not your morality or anything outside it. For example, like in Ayn Rand's book, Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people will hate her philosophy.
Anybody so, I will ever consider talking to will hate her
exactly,
philosophy.
Exactly. And so you could say the hero in that book is John Galt, but most people would not at all agree with his ideals. However, he's the hero of that book, and the people he opposes are the villains of that book.
Have you actually read that book?
I've read synopsis, but haven't actually read it. But I do know that Ayn Rand has been quoted as saying John Galt was perfect. So I'm pretty sure he was her hero character.
Yes. And just if, I don't know, just do not ever, 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 ever read that book ever.
that was kind of my plan.
That is the best piece of life advice I could give to anybody.
And Luke is a top-notch reviewer, and that was very well worded and succinct. So
critical hit,
tell.
9 out of 10. But have you seen the movie? I have not, but I hear it's pretty bad.
No, I have absolutely no intention of watching the movie either.
Good. Saw it on Netflix the other night, and like, you know, I think I'm not going to watch that. And I'm pretty happy with my decision.
It's nice to have a choice in what not to watch.
Exactly. I exercise it all the time. But, yeah, I just brought that up. One reason is because I knew you would have a very strong reaction to that. One's
damn,
own morality.
Played me like a fiddle.
Exactly. Is there a British version of a fiddle? Just a fiddle?
Presumably,
I think,
yeah.
I think it's just a fiddle.
Just making sure. I never know when we're going to have those differences. But yeah, so just to show how much a book's sense of morality and who the villain is can contrast with one's own. But anyway, I think that about covers what a villain is. So now.
All right, good. Are we done? We figured it out.
How many times is that joke going to be made?
I haven't made it yet.
All get one. Gotcha. All right, are we done? All right, mine's used up.
And that's a wrap.
Okay. Jeez. Now, the next question, which has already been touched upon, is what are memorable villains from games? And I had such a hard trouble with this. So, anyone have any?
Saren.
I have two. Sorry, Sean, go on.
Saren from Mass Effect. I love him to bits.
Oh, I thought you meant Sauron from Lord of the Rings, and I was going to say
Sauron. Saren. S-A-R-E-N.
That's actually a good thought. I hadn't thought of him.
I love him so much, because he's one of those ones which he thinks what he's doing is right the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, how far are we going into spoiler territory with any of these? Are we going to go, spoilers, and then...
I should have put it at the top of this podcast. Since we are going more in depth, I think we're going to spoil games that aren't like incredibly new or something, or that one of us, has, or that we've all played. So I'm fine with going into Mass Effect story.
If I wanted to play Mass Effect, I would have played it by now. Go ahead.
What, man? You're missing out. But,
boring.
Saren's.
Okay. Different topic.
Saren, go ahead.
Basically, to sort of recap on what Mass Effect's basic story is, there's the aliens called the Reapers. There's inklings of them coming in the first game. Saren is the antagonist that's stopping Shepard, or Commander Shepard, the protagonist, which you play, from finding out what's going on exactly in the universe, stop these rumblings from going on. But he has made a pact with the Reapers because he believes that because the Reapers come through every couple of millennia and wipe out the entire population of sentient species on all the planets, just absorb them, destroy them, he decides to make a pact with them instead and become, I suppose, not a slave to them, but a henchman, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And his struggle is trying to save everyone from the universe by making a pact with them, but stopping Shepard, who is just trying to stop them outright. And Saren is slowly getting turned into this slave, but he believes that he is doing the right thing. He's trying to save as many people as he possibly can. And he believes that he is so right in his cause that he will do anything to stop you from killing them outright or stopping anything of that sort happening.
Right. Yeah, I remember him being a pretty good villain compared to what they could have put in there and what he seemed like at the beginning, which is just an evil guy who raged a lot when he lost. And I also loved his theme song. I thought that was a really...
the first game, that whole wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, that played every time he died, so I got to know.
That's true. You know, it'd be interesting. Do you think that there could be a game in which you play as Saren? Like, could...
I would love that.
Story? I mean, there could be any Mass Effect game at this point.
Oh yeah.
I guess that's true. I just wonder, like, is he the sort of villain who mostly just thinks about things and, you know, plots and then, or is he taking enough action that a whole story could center around him in a game?
I think so. They've already got some backstory with him and, is it Captain Anderson?
They went on like a mission and he ended up blowing up the whole plant.
That's true.
He takes a lot of action.
Yeah.
Sure.
He's definitely not a good guy to begin with, but he believes that he's virtuous in the end. I mean, obviously.
Well,
as a Turian, he's already got all that massive backstory of the war between the humans and Turians in the First Contact War. So there's all of that racial conflict as well as all the other stuff that can be sort of covered in that. I mean, Turians, as they are probably the best ones to have a game centered around because humans are boring.
Yeah, Turians actually like way more than humans. I would just have Garrus out as much as possible.
Yeah, Garrus is the man, as is Rex.
Oh, Rex is pretty awesome too, but I ended up kind of killing him.
Oh no! Heartless bastard.
No, wait, no, I didn't. I think I did that in one save file. I don't remember now. He's great though.
I think Garrus is my favorite character from the 1/5 of Mass Effect that I played.
Yeah.
He's great.
He was.
I think Saren's big thread throughout him is that he's utilitarian, like compared to Shepard, where he's like, you know, it'll save the most people by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why he blew up that plant, because it completed his mission, even though it killed innocents. I think that's why he teamed up with Saren. Or, teamed up with Saren. He is Saren.
Yes.
Teamed up with the Reapers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might, you know, fit the definition of villainy in being against the morality of the Mass Effect universe, or at least the people who created it. Because I think utilitarian is a very common, philosophy to give a villain.
Hmm. Now, in a way, almost all player characters have to have a little bit of that in their morality, just for the sake that you have to do so much violence in most games. You have to be willing to, you know, do something destructive, usually on a pretty big level, to accomplish your own goals, if you think about it.
That's true. Just how many Goombas were sacrificed?
A lot of them. And Goombas are people. Like, if you play the Mario RPGs, the Goombas have personalities, and some of them are good guys, have day jobs.
Wait, Steven.
What?
Are you accusing Matt Super Mario of genocide?
This is the inferring.
He's implying. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay, then.
Yeah. I would never say that outright. I don't want Nintendo to come out.
No, we don't want copyright claims for Nintendo or something. Pulling this down.
Well, you know, I have something to say about villains in video games.
Okay, go and say it.
I feel like there are sort of three types that people remember.
Okay.
And one of them would be someone who's just really cool or has a big presence. I think an example would be Ganondorf. There's not a lot to Ganondorf, but he has amazing hair and he has a cool laugh and he rides a huge, awesome, like, horse through battle and that sort of thing.
And he's the best character in Melee.
Oh, jeez, no. He's
not as good as Captain Falcon.
he is so much more than that.
Falcon punch.
Just a single punch knocks people over. Just...
Okay, he's pretty good.
That assumes you can never hit them with it.
Oh, you hit them all the time.
His own problem. Oh, then you're a greater man than I.
Well, type number two.
That you just said that on this podcast is forever.
It's just
going to
loop
recorded
at the end of the episode.
He's going to carry around with him, like, on his phone to play at passers-by.
Yeah, just don't make it your ringtone, because that would be creepy. And so I said, no, Ganondorf is not the best character in Melee. He's beaten by Captain Falcon every...
Greater man than I.
What's greater that?
Man
that? Nothing?
Greater man than I.
No, but it's coming
greater
from...
Nothing!
Are you sure?
Nothing!
Okay,
greater
okay.
You're a greater man than I. You're a greater...
Hello?
You
okay,
were saying
type
something, Stephen.
Oh, yes. Type number two, I think, is the entertaining villain. The one who just
the
makes
Joker?
You laugh. Like, I would say Fawful from the Mario RPGs, now that we're bringing that back
up.
Oh,
right, yeah.
Because I don't really care so much about Fawful's motivations, or really anything about him other than he speaks in a hilarious manner. He's just funny. And so you'll remember him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think type number three, which is the third and final type in my shoehorned... I don't know, hypothesis here, would be the villains who, and I think this is the rarest, but the villains who are simply interesting. Maybe they don't have the best presence or aren't entertaining you, but it's their philosophies or their motivations or just who they are as people that fascinate you. And I think that the brothers from Myst would be included in this example, where you're just wondering what's going to happen to them. What are they really planning? You're just interested in, you know, them.
Right. You're interested in the people and not just the
and I think very, very rarely all three of these are combined in one character. And I can only think of one example, off the top of my head earlier, which is GLaDOS, who has an intense presence and is very cool, but also is hilarious. And yet you're really curious about her motivations and wondering what's going to happen to her.
Does that extend to Wheatley as well?
You know, it's sort of, he's sort of an antagonist, maybe.
Nah, he's a villain by the end of that.
I guess you're right. Sure.
Spoilers.
Again,
I hope everyone has played Portal 2, honestly. I mean, who wouldn't? That'd be as crazy as not playing the Mass Effect trilogy.
Yeah.
I think I have a villain, one of the two choices I had. One villain who I think, as with Steven's example of GLaDOS, fits all three of his villain types. Mm-hmm. One of the most notorious and evil villains in video games, which is, of course, Risetti.
Yeah. Now, that's a joke. However...
No, I'm totally serious.
But is Risetti a villain, or is he the hero in your
Yes,
villain?
He is. No,
Are you
he's
sure?
The, yes, I am. Absolutely.
The morality of Animal Crossing is against time travel.
And he... In a sense, he's just the law. He is punishing you for
like a furry Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. He's a bad cop, but he's still a cop.
Yeah, but some people, I'm quite sure, trigger his appearance entirely by accident, and I don't think that's fair. He's a villain through and through.
That happened to me once.
In his dark, furry little heart, I have no time for such people.
You make a convincing point. But does that make you the villain in Animal Crossing?
A lot of people say Tom Nook is a villain because he's like a loan shark.
That's just...
But I think he gets unfair treatment. I mean, he charges no interest. He has no deadline. I mean, he's got to be losing money on all that.
Nah.
Well, he doesn't send, like, little animal gangsters around with cute little sledgehammers to break your little knees if you don't pay on time.
If they did, that would be a Nintendo game to remember.
Maybe that's a DLC. Yeah,
it's like, you know, there's the little, you know, message. Oh no, you got a mosquito bite. Oh no, your kneecaps were busted. Your guys' eyes are all. Yep. You limp around town trying to find medicine. Yeah. I don't think that would be a good direction to take.
Grand Theft Crossing, a crossover.
Yeah. I don't
Let's
like
not let Rockstar get their hands on
ideas.
Animal Crossing.
I buy it.
Yep. And we're bringing Trevor's voice actor for Tom Nook.
This time he's not holding back.
And we mean Trevor's voice actor.
I don't like...
We're letting him unleash in this game. We are way too tame in GTA 5.
Wait, speaking of GTA, I've never really played those games, but who's the villain? Or are there villains? Or are there
Society.
Just a bunch of antagonists? Society, okay. Congratulations, I think you've solved it.
No, I haven't played him
either. Capitalism.
Oh, are the protagonists ever villains, or are they victims of capitalism?
They're gangsters with an A on the end just before the S to make it a plural.
Well put.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm a bit of an expert in such things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You are a writer, after all. Turns of phrase are your cup of tea, if you will.
But that's the thing. I don't think any GTA game has ever had particularly strong... villains or antagonists.
Right.
Personally, I don't think so.
Do you think they have strong characters at all?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Okay. Whoa.
Oh, so that's a bit of a polarizing argument. Yes and no.
Okay. Who's a good GTA character for you? So we're going slightly off topic, but just quick. Either side of the morality, who's a strong GTA character for you?
I'm just trying to go through all the characters that are on GTA 4, and I'm trying to find something to back up my argument.
I random names, and I remember Roman, Brucey. I've never seen any of these characters.
Well, that was sort of, those characters Nico. Which are good for what they were. I mean, Nico's not great. I mean, I've heard a couple of times people saying how he keeps trying to escape from what he did in his past and keeps getting pulled back into it, which is not exactly the greatest character. Set of personality traits there is.
Yeah, it sounds a little reactive.
Yeah. Okay, I retract my statement of yes. Until I can think of someone from there.
I feel like GTA has this weird effect where everyone feels like they have to like it because people have liked it for so long, but no one really loves it anymore.
I liked 4.
And that's what
4.
I really got from GTA 5.
I haven't played 5 yet. I've played 4 and I've played Chinatown. And was there any other?
Oh, Chinatown Wars is brilliant.
Yeah, I got it on the DS. I loved it. But there's like not really any of the older ones I liked at all. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vice City?
I never liked them before that. Sort of 4 was the first one where I went, oh, this is more realistic. This is more story-based. This is less about just shooting shit up.
See, and I absolutely love Vice City, but I think that's a lot of that is just where I'm a child of the 80s, and the 80s soundtrack is, and the sort of the garish colours is just, yes, right. 80s.
And it sounds like you don't go to GTA for the story.
No. Which is, I mean, for the satire, certainly, I really appreciate the satire. Like, pretty much every GTA game I've had so far, like all the 3D ones, I have spent time literally just sat in my car, just parked up, listening to radio stations, or at home, just like watching the TV channels, and I really appreciate all that, as well as going through the story and things.
I hope you don't think that's like an accurate representation of America.
Yeah, if you say so.
All right, good, because I don't know if you've been here before, but, you know, there are a couple things they don't get, like, exactly accurate. So.
Really? Like what? that is
we don't drive
food
quite
experience.
That fast usually.
Everything in Grand Theft Auto is every fast food restaurant they have ever parodied is pretty much exactly the same thing as the real version. At least that is accurate.
And I guess talk radio isn't, like, so far off. But
not so
but
much, but the other things maybe, but.
Yeah, but
anyway, America is the villain. Oh no, we've come to the heart of the matter.
Consumerism, yeah.
Does Spec Ops have a good villain that made you think of that?
Ooh, oh yeah. God.
I appreciated what that was trying to do, and I enjoyed the story and the approach it took. It wasn't done terribly well, unfortunately.
Okay.
That seems to be the general consensus, doesn't it? The story's reasonably good, but I went into it, got really bored of it, stopped, came back to it, and then I enjoyed it because I hadn't played shooters for a while, so I got to pop some heads and I could just the sort of squashing, melony sort of exploding sound when you hit them in the head.
Through to you, did it?
No, not really. I suppose it's a withdrawal from all the console games for such a long time. No gears, no, what else has popping
Halo?
Heads?
Oh, nope. Halo doesn't have popping heads.
No. It's a little bit too tame.
That's a good question.
Well, see,
what does have popping
like
heads? That's the most important question we have.
I think it's just gears.
Anything with zombies in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Last of Us, I think, has it in there.
I haven't got around to that yet.
Speaking of Last of Us, that's a question I wanted to bring up. Has everyone here completed that game? Otherwise, I won't.
I haven't played it, unfortunately, but I can.
I won't then.
Okay, you really, sure. really should.
Yeah,
I want to.
One of my favorites of the year.
It's just like getting it for a start is. It's reasonably expensive at the moment, comparatively to what I would pay for most things at the moment.
Right. Do you all have a GameFly equivalent there?
We've got digital GameFly.
Digital GameFly? You can, rent games.
Do we?
We've got gamefly.co.uk. Like, I bought stuff off it, today and yesterday.
Oh, their online store.
I'll take your word for it.
I think there is stuff.
Because Love Film don't do games anymore. Blockbusters is shutting down in a couple of hours forever. Mm-hmm. I don't, there must be something, but I think a few, online specialists, but none either of us know of.
Okay, gotcha.
It's probably
I often use Gamefly to keep up with modern releases that I don't want to pay a ton of money for. I got Last of Us.
I've got too many old releases to get through.
That's another problem, yeah. And the 100 Steam games, or 200 at this point.
Is that, yeah, that's the number. Sorry.
I love that comment. Okay.
We have that number in the United Kingdom as well.
Yeah, those are words put in a sentence.
I have 250 games installed on Steam alone at the moment.
Oh, nice. How big is your hard drive?
Terabyte.
Yeah, same here. I'm running out of room.
I've got
crikey.
Just shy of 600 games in my entire list.
Oh, jeez. I thought I was a lot at 275.
Yeah, I've got
that is a large amount of video games.
Yeah,
it is.
Things that I need to get round to. Some things are sort of half started, like Bioshock 2 is sort of sat there. And then you've got things like Castle Crashers, and it's sort of, when some people come along, we can play that. We can have some fun. And then,
have you played Bioshock Infinite?
No.
I have.
Sean?
No.
No, yeah, I wouldn't bother. Same. Right.
Yeah, that could be a good villain topic, but again, getting into the spoiler territory. The first Bioshock I hear had a good villain. I played some of it.
Yes. And that, of course, the only reason I started reading Atlas Shrugged and only finished because I'm the sort of stubborn person that insists on finishing something when I've started it, especially if it's cost me real money, is because, of course, the whole idea sort of emanated from Atlas Shrugged. And it's like diametrically opposed to the ideals of it. And this is what would actually happen if the story of Atlas Shrugged happened in real life. But anyway, yeah. Because Bioshock's villain, I thought, was really well done, and especially when you eventually met him and what happened then. But then,
I hear it's a big twist.
The very end of the game is terribly done in every way, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Irrational, they just can't do boss fights. They shouldn't bother.
Oh, right. Does he, like, get in a giant robot or something? I don't know.
It might as well be.
Okay. The actual boss fight was incredibly stupid. I think they got that down better in Infinite. I mean, I didn't love the
definitive. I think it's even worse.
Really? The floating barge you thought was worse?
I mean,
or the gameplay or the story?
Well, the bosses, so definitely. Right. But Infinite is inferior to both of the first two Bioshock games, in my opinion.
Gotcha. I never played through the first one or the second, but I really enjoyed Infinite, but it did something really different than the first two did, I think. Something that I think kind of made Bioshock stand out was kind of the horror idea it had, and Infinite didn't really run with any of that. The sense of atmosphere and being in those close quarters and all that, they kind of just took that out entirely and just had you shoot a whole lot of people.
I think the frustrating thing about Infinite is just, it's a collection of, it's got dozens of half-finished ideas and nothing seen through to a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, that's also a fair complaint, though I was completely, enraptured, if you will, by the twist at the end.
Oh, he's good. He's good, isn't he?
Your number of puns, Brian, is infinite.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay, that's
right. Yeah, they were not subtle with their Ayn Rand influences because their villain was named Andrew Ryan.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, and it's a little bit close to Ayn Rand, in case my point was not clear.
Yeah,
yeah, I got that, actually.
All right,
thanks for repeating the statement and with more words so as to emphasize it.
Well, I don't know how smart our audience is. I know we're bashing.
Speaking of audiences not being smart, I think that's kind of a reason that really good, memorable villains with, you know, some deep motivation in there is rare to come by, simply because video game stories are often kind
obvious.
Of one-note. Obvious, like... So, you don't need a deep villain for most games, right? I mean, you just need someone to, you know, go up against. Someone to overthrow. Someone to have a cool boss fight with. Which is why I think there are a lot of Ganondorfs in the world. You know, just the cool ones. And quite a few Fawfles, because they're funny. But very few Mist Brothers that are just actually, you know, are interesting on their own, not just because of the gameplay or something.
Well, have any of you played Far Cry 3?
Oh, I haven't, but that's a super good example.
Because a lot of people say Vaas.
I see, because my other choice was from Far Cry 3, which I still haven't finished. But, it's not Vaas.
I would agree.
My choice from Far Cry 3.
I would totally agree. Which villain is
And so, inform the good people, who is the best villain in Far Cry 3?
Is it the shark?
I suppose that would be the ultimate twist, that the one without any lines,
He just unzips his whole skin from head to toe.
Aha! I am a shark. Who can talk?
But no, sorry, Sean, please continue. I will be quiet.
This is why Luke is not right with you.
Which of the other villains have you met so far? Because there is one which is talked about throughout most of the game.
Okay, I'm about three quarters of the way through, and this villain, I don't think is too spoilery, and people who won't get this villain is dead before the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about, he's Aussie, isn't he?
I was hoping you could remember his name, because I can't. I just remember he's an Australian sex pest.
Oh, he was a brilliant villain. Like, he was sort of part antagonist, part, not protagonist, but he was helping you out. Like, he makes out that he's sort of like your bud.
But it's just so well written and so much more interesting than Vast as well. I think because it's a really nasty piece of work from Stephen's meeting, but I don't really know how to describe it, but I mean, he's like, as Stephen said, the entertaining type of villain, but he's got very sharp sort of caustic humor to him and mocking you, and he's right in your face because he knows you can't touch him because he's got you over a fire for something until he eventually does exit the scene. But he's just so well written for the time he is there, and I think it's such a shame more wasn't made of him.
I think that Vaas got relatively little time considering how much hype was put into him. I mean, obviously there was the supplementary stuff from was it some sort of live action thing before all the rest of it came out. I think it was something like that with the actor that actually plays Vaas. They had some.
I pay absolutely no attention to live action game promos because they are uniformly terrible.
I didn't either.
I think they did they show him acting in the studio and how much effort he put into it?
I thought they put a little story thing that happened sort of prior to the events of Far Cry 3.
Oh, okay, maybe they did. I remember trailers before it was released just showing Vaas giving speeches in-game, and then I remember them releasing footage of him in the studio performing the lines and how into it he was getting. But
A lot of the stuff that they showed off Vaas doing was in the game, and then there wasn't much else apart from it, and then it sort of ramped up to something particularly anticlimactic for me. And it's like, why are people praising Vaas so much when the others are far more entertaining?
Yeah.
Better written, to be fair, in my opinion. And,
They put a lot of the hype and marketing into Vaas, so I think that's the reason he got a lot of attention.
I think
that was the first thing I saw about the game.
Making him crazy was sort of the thing that they seemed to. Far Cry 3 is one of those things where they've sort of gone and put a lot of effort into trying to make it as unrealistic as possible while still saying, it's really realistic, and then I think they would have been better off running off with slightly more magic-y themed stuff in it, because that's what they seem to be wanting to do.
I've got to the point where that's starting to end of the story, and I'm thinking, no, just please don't. That's just ruining everything. Although I will tell you one thing, again, slightly off topic, but one thing Far Cry 3 does that is realistic, that I wish so many more games would do, especially first-person shooters, especially ones that ask you to be stealthy, is if you're hidden around a camp and you take a guy out silently from a distance, everybody else doesn't suddenly magically know exactly where you are. If you're careful, you can quickly run off to another hiding spot and they won't be able to find you.
That's always annoying. I had that problem with Metro 2033 when I was playing it.
Oh yeah, I remember that being pretty bad about it.
I didn't get very far in it because my save got corrupted and I haven't had a chance to go back to it properly.
That's a great game. I hear Last Light is awesome too.
Yeah, I'm trying to get through the audiobook at the moment.
But yeah, I think AI is actually one of the things I want to improve most in games.
So you say you're trying to get through the audio, but you are listening to it in English, not the original Russian, aren't you?
Yeah, this is the second attempt I'm going through at it, because last time it was on an old MP3 player and it didn't save anything, but now I'm doing straight through Audible, and that seems to be doing chapters quite nicely.
All right. So, any other examples of memorable villains you get from video games?
It depends on if you finish the games or not. Because from Braid, Tim.
Right. Yeah, that's another one we can spoil because it's super old at this point. Well,
I haven't finished all the puzzles in Braid, but I'm 99% sure I can see exactly where it's going.
I'm curious, what's your idea of where it's going?
Okay, this is where I make a fool of myself. Well,
don't worry, I've already done it already.
We can make this an official segment if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Because as I say, I've only completed a few of the puzzles for the pictures, but it looks to me like it's about him and how he's actually ruined his relationship. And it looks like maybe he was a drunkard and he's now, it's about him actually admitting to his mistakes and what he did to ruin everything.
Gotcha. So he's chasing after the princess, not because some evil villain stole her, but because he chased her away.
Pretty much.
All right. That is an interesting thought. You should complete the game and see if you're right. But if you were right, that would make an interesting villain, wouldn't it?
Okay. I can hear in my back of my head all these people listening to the podcast who have finished Braid saying, you idiot.
Or or they're gazing upon you as if you are a genius descended from the heavens.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is you can't really assume that because Luke could have just looked at the ending and is trying to sound smart.
Oh, the internet. I always forget ruining the heavenly metaphors.
Exactly. The internet ruining heavens.
Wait, simile. That was a simile.
What? Oh. Well, isn't a simile a type of metaphor?
Whatever it is, it's ruined. That's the important thing.
It's not. Metaphors and similes are different. Similes are saying something.
Are they both analogies? I'm getting this.
I think he's toying with us, Sean.
I'm not going to explain it because I'll ruin the explanation and then I'll look.
Leave it. It's not worth it, Dave. Leave it. It's not worth it.
Get out while you can.
I'm looking this up on Wikipedia. All right, let's see here. Back to the internet. All right, we've got metaphors. Now, let's see. Those are a figure of speech that describes the subject by asserting that it is on some point of comparison. It's a type of analogy. Basically. Okay, analogy is the type and metaphor and similes are under it. Okay, we got it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Yes, that's what I thought.
We've actually been informative today. That's more than I was expecting. Actually, I think this podcast may be more informative if we just read off Wikipedia entries until hour and a half is up.
Perhaps.
All right. So I think that's enough villains from games. Unfortunately, I had a whole lot of problem coming up with actually good ones. Like you said, Luke, rubbish is a good way to describe a lot of game writing. I mean, you know, the memorable ones like Eggman and Bowser are not deep characters. They're just foils for the hero and kind of funny embodiments of villainy.
Oh, just the best line from Lost World. I don't know, you two guys, you didn't finish it, did you?
No, I got through some of it, but I may have not seen the line you're referring to.
I put in my review, actually, just not one of the best lines in the Sonic Lost World, one of the best lines in the history of video game writing.
Whoa.
Yes, so prepare yourselves. Near the end, Sonic declares to Eggman, "The only thing getting conquered around here is your face, Eggman."
See, just there beautiful is piece writing of writing. In video
beautiful.
Games. Oh, man. My gosh. That's wonderful.
Is that a simile?
It is, isn't it?
I'm going to play through the rest of that game to get there.
Yes. It's almost worth it.
Almost, yeah. I got to the ice world and just stopped.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I don't know. That was a very disappointing game.
That game was the villain.
Yes, that's the conclusion I would come to. But going back to Dr. Ivo Robotnik, as he is called, he's actually one of the more interesting cartoon villains, I think. Especially since in Sonic Adventure 2, and Brian, I was talking to you about this yesterday, how, in that game, you got to play as Eggman. But you weren't just teaming up with Sonic all the time. You got to play as Eggman being a villain. So you were breaking into military bases and capturing dangerous weapons and blowing things up and doing evil plots while, at the same time, Sonic the Hedgehog and his buddies were running around trying to stop you. And I thought that was really interesting. I mean, it's simple and kind of a dumb plot overall, but
Sonic Adventure 2's plot is not simple, but it is.
Okay, you're right. It's complex and dumb. But yeah, that's really interesting. Games don't let you do that very much. You know, like jump into the villain's shoes and be a villain.
Transformers, the two most recent ones.
Oh, did they?
You get to play as both sides. You get to be the Autobots and the Decepticons.
Most importantly, you get to be Starscream.
Yeah.
Is he the guy with the tape deck?
No, that's Soundwave.
Oh.
You heathen.
Yeah, I never watched anything Transformers. But I listened to the Bombcast enough that I have way too much Transformers knowledge bouncing around in my head. Let me think. I had other things on my list. Steven, of course, I had the Myst Brothers because I love Myst so much.
I have a question.
What?
Is Thrall from Warcraft a villain at any point?
What? No, never.
Was he introduced in Warcraft 3?
Nope. Yes, in Warcraft 3.
So he was introduced as a playable hero.
He's a good orc.
I know he is now. I was just wondering if maybe in the past if he was part of the lore and they're like, oh no, Thrall the War Chief, we have to kill him in this match.
No, because he was raised as a slave in the humans until he escaped.
Oh, I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah. But I did have some from Warcraft. I think the Lich King is a very classic, you know.
He's Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly. He's the video game version of Darth Vader where, you know, he was a hero and then he fell and they did some good, you know, redemptive, plots around him. I thought he was good. And I think the more interesting character from Warcraft is Illidan, which I think is actually a pretty interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
Because he...
What? I was just going to say, for starters, he fits the looks cool and does cool things.
And has a cool voice.
And has a cool voice archetype that a lot of video game characters have, especially like Blizzard games.
Right. And he was, for people who don't know World of Warcraft characters by name, he was basically the main villain in the Burning Crusade, which was World of Warcraft's first expansion. He was a brother to one of the Night Elf heroes in World of Warcraft. And basically he and his brother were both heroes of the Night Elves, and then to stop the demons, Illidan started taking on the power of the demons and got locked away for it. And so basically he's kind of the sympathetic character who wants to be saving these people, but he's doing it by means that the rest of his people don't approve of. And how they tell that story is a little more complex and interesting than a lot of villains in World of Warcraft and Warcraft in general.
I don't know about you, Sean, but I feel like I've just walked into my local comic shop to get changed for a fiver, and I'm stuck behind this guy having a conversation with the owner behind the counter.
That's normally me having a conversation
with the owner. We're really used to this. Anytime we try to talk about World of Warcraft on our other podcast, we just get blank stares and groans. So it's run of the mill. But you know, I actually think that's kind of cool though. Like, not that people are bored.
It's awesome. That's my goal.
But that a game can have a world big enough to support multiple villains who are going off doing their own thing, and there isn't just like one central villain. You know, Star Wars is sort of the same way, where that world has grown big enough so, I don't know, you can have some Hutt crime lord in one of the novels, and you never get to see him in the movies, but he's pulling his own strings somewhere else. It gives you more room for depth. You don't just have to be, you know, I am a villain, I will destroy the world, and you'd better kill me before this game ends.
Right, right. That's a good point. So moving on from listing particular villains, we'll go on to the question of what actually makes a good villain. And we've touched on this a little bit as we've gone through the podcast, but a few things I have written down here, as things that jump to mind, is a reason for his deviancy, which is obviously a villain is someone who differs from what the game's sense of morality is, or at the very least differs from what the hero is doing, or probably what society is doing. So what is his reason for being different, other than preferably a good reason, not just my parents were mean, so now I'm mean, but an interesting reason.
Some good characters are just ones which are just evil because they want to be evil. Like, Brutal Legend, the one that Tim Curry voices, I can't remember what his name is. He's evil, but he's got Tim Curry as a voice.
I can't remember his name is, but he's memorable. Tim Curry's great at what he does, though, isn't he? That's the thing. We're talking about Brutal Legend, actually. You know what? I think is a much better villain, actually, come to think of it, was it Ophelia? The girl. But although she starts off, obviously, with whoever it is that Jack Black plays. But she turns into a villain later, and the reason behind it...
Eddie Riggs!
Yes, Mr. Riggs. And when things go somewhat sour between them, then she turns evil. And then I think it's good just because he goes back to her and he's genuinely sorry and tries to bring her back. But it's not, oh, okay, thank you, we're all friends now. She just stays evil, says basically, no, it's too late. We're enemies now. And it stays like that. And just that idea, I think, is very good and done very well.
All right. I did not actually expect Brutal Legend to have a halfway decent villain. So
Brutal Legend has a lot. I mean, sure, the gameplay is not the best in the world, but the story is what you come for. It's Tim Schafer, for God's sake.
I was about to say, I guess one shouldn't underestimate Tim Schafer. I'm trying to think if he has good villains in his other games. The weird army
LeChuck
drill sergeant from Psychonauts was interesting.
That's
spoilers.
True.
What?
Spoilers.
Yeah.
I don't remember awful lot about Psychonauts, apart from the fact that I absolutely loved it.
It is really great. I need to play through it again. I never actually finished it. I got really far and then stopped and then bought it on the PC and said I should play through it again. Haven't.
Well, to know he's a bad guy, that's pretty far.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting a physical release, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Say again?
Psychonauts is getting a physical release.
Oh, is it? I didn't know.
It's had one.
It is.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it is getting one.
Re-released.
Okay, for what?
PC, he says, confidently.
Okay, that's interesting.
Who buys HD PC games other than me?
I guess only when they're like mega cheap.
Yeah, I only buy physical games when like digital copies are literally impossible to obtain.
Well, that's sometimes a little cheaper though. Battlefield was cheaper, so I bought that.
Oh yeah,
so was Guild Wars.
Oh, Guild Wars is lovely. Which one? Two.
Two. Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. I love one.
You like
what?
One?
That's my one's my favorite. Ugh, it's my favorite game ever.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love the story in that.
I never got far enough to really get a sense of the story. I think two, it captured me more for a few reasons, but I think it was much more of, you know, a World of Warcraft style MMO. I think one did a lot of unique stuff with how it gave out abilities and all that.
Oh yeah, like I love the abilities, but I love the Mesmer. Like the Mesmer's just one of those character classes which
right.
Lovely.
Yeah, that's what I played in too. Fantastic. But that's really off topic, even though those
yep.
are pretty great games.
Well there's so an evil Mesmer, I'm sure somewhere.
It's gotta be. I mean, just statistically.
So yeah. That's the sound a canned clutching at straws makes.
Sure, why not?
Alright, so another reason aspect that I think makes a good villain, and none of these are, of course, necessary, but they're just possible ways, is a reason to root for him or some form of empathy for the villain.
Miles Edgeworth.
Oh, there you go, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, really... sorry, who?
Miles Edgeworth.
Miles Edgeworth.
He definitely fits under antagonist, though.
That's a good point.
I'd be hesitant to make him a villain.
Possibly anti-hero. What's his name would be a villain? Von Karma?
Manfred von Karma.
Yes.
Okay, he's a villain.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Out and out.
But I think Edgeworth has more of an anti-hero.
And I think maybe that's the thing. If you make a villain too interesting, they become an antagonist and no longer qualify.
Right. So it's really tough to make
like
a
Bowser.
True villain really interesting.
Because Bowser's a good guy in one of them, probably. I think.
that's a good point. Like, maybe he's never good, but you certainly, well.
I mean, he's not actively villainous in tennis, is he?
I don't know, because no. People tend to be in when you play it online on a 3DS, and they always use those cheap super shots.
Don't they all have cheap super shots?
They do all have cheap super shots, but I tend to find I'm up against them more online. And all let's right. say, for the sake of comedy, when somebody's playing Bowser. Anyway, let's move along, gentlemen.
All right.
You know, Waluigi was introduced in Mario Tennis, and he's probably the most villainous being on this planet.
Well,
so.
Yeah, he's like the classic villain. That mustache alone puts him in the Villain Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But you like to claim he's misunderstood, so is he more of an antagonist?
I think that Waluigi is actually an anti-hero.
Okay. Well, I thought you claimed he was a hero.
But he doesn't have his own game.
He does
have
actually.
You played
there's
Psychic
this,
Waluigi.
Yes, there's this small fan-made game called Psycho Waluigi released on the PC.
Is it canon though? Is it?
I like to think so. I think Waluigi has psychic powers, and it's like a 2D platformer.
Because Wario has a couple of games of his own, so he's the protagonist in those.
That's very true. I just feel that Waluigi is forced into the shadowy corner. I mean, you'd think Luigi lives in the shadow of Mario. Not true. Not anymore. Not since the year of Luigi. Waluigi mm-hmm. lives in the shadow, the beefy shadow of Wario. And I feel like he's the guy that everyone just thinks this weird, skinny, horrid little golem creature. But really, I'm sure he has many interesting thoughts that, and, I don't know, philosophical discussions he could have on his own adventure.
Right? I don't know. I don't think, well, first of all, I don't think Waluigi is his given name. I think this is a persona that he's taken on himself. He saw Wario, who is, of course, genuine, and thought, you know what? I admire him. He's even got his own games. So his real name is, I don't know, Barry or something. And so he thought, you know what? If I dress up like Luigi, but in, you know what? Purple. Is purple the opposite of green? Who cares? That's what's cheapest. So he got himself a cap, the dungarees, fake moustache. So, oh no, my name's not Barry. My name's Waluigi. And
turn the L upside down. He needed
maybe
his own identity.
Just like a really bad Luigi cosplayer.
You know what? That's the same thing because Wario, of
maybe
course, he's
just
got the upside down M.
Right, right. Yeah, the name is ridiculous. Stephen, you said there's a deeper meaning to the name in the original Japanese, right?
Yes, I believe that I don't know the specifics, but in Japanese the wa sound like has some kind of connotation to it, something like evil or bad or something.
Are you sure that Waluigi didn't just edit this Wikipedia entry?
Well, I don't think.
Are you sure you didn't just edit this Wikipedia entry? I was hoping you are a well-known Waluigi apologist.
Wouldn't get to that point.
I mean,
to
like
be perfectly
your
honest.
Favorite gift from me in the last 3 years has been a Waluigi plush doll.
That is true.
Still
and
sitting
I think
on your desk.
Critical Gamer, my current avatar is me and Waluigi. So right, maybe I'm biased. Can you guys hear my cat? Because he's being really loud.
No, not yet.
No, does he? Have you got another headset? Has he got something to contribute?
Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
just hand Mike. The microphone.
Mike's back. Cat's under desk. Right. No, he has nothing to contribute. Actually, he's just a cat.
All right.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It is, honestly. What a downer. So let's see if Waluigi's a good villain. I'll run him through my list of reasons here and see what he has. Okay.
Yeah, let's do this.
Does Waluigi have a reason for his deviancy?
Yes, jealousy.
What? Jealousy. So he's being evil because he's jealous.
He's acting out because he sees all these successful plumbers getting their own games, and he hasn't caught on. He had
so
his
he wants
own
attention.
Racetrack in Mario Kart.
Hang on a minute. Wait.
That's about it.
Stephen, you're the best person here to answer this. And I'm not interested in any fan-made projects. Nintendo canon. Mm-hmm. Can you point to me anywhere in any game where it is explained a single sentence of Waluigi's backgrounds or motivations? Because Wario, we know he likes money. You know, he is mm-hmm.
I thought he was bullied by the others.
Are you sure you're not projecting?
I know. I believe that was an old comic book they released.
Was it? I wouldn't
comic
have had
book?
That.
I think so. I think they put out this little comic with the Mario Brothers, and Wario was there. This has got to be like mid to early 90s, back with Wario's Woods or something. And he was bullied by the others, I think.
Yeah, I thought
so. Charles Martinet, the voice actor of Waluigi, describes him as someone with a lot of self-pity and who would cheat to win. But I don't know how much that gets us into his backstory.
I like how you say that he's just the voice of Wario as opposed to every character Mario makes.
Waluigi.
Yeah, and Mario
well, I'm
and
just
Luigi.
Listing what he's famous for. You don't list every movie that Elijah Wood has done. You list the popular ones. But yes, I don't think they have ever described where the heck Waluigi came from. I mean, is he even related to Wario? Because he doesn't really
I don't think
it.
I think Waluigi's just like an outsider, as probably Barry, as Luke said.
Yeah, I don't think Wario even knows he's there. I mean, if they've appeared alongside one another officially in an official capacity. Where?
Well, of course. Have you? I mean, the Mario Tennis, Power Tennis.
I mean, officially. You know, like as in it. They are partners, and it's fixed like that. Like Mario and Luigi on the front of a box, and it's.
But like the whole intro movie of that game had them working together to beat the others in tennis.
Are you sure that's not just a dream Waluigi had?
And don't they go around together in Mario and Sonic at the Olympics as well in one of them in the story mode, I think. Not that that's particularly
honestly
canon-like.
I think Waluigi was just created by Camelot, who make the sports games, and then Nintendo got stuck with him. I don't think Nintendo ever wanted him as a character.
I think that adds to his depth, because he's unwanted.
Surely he's on just, like... Go on.
Oh, I was going to say he is the eternal third wheel, except he's actually the fourth.
But on Melee and Brawl, don't they have little descriptions of each of the trophies and what's it called? And there's there must be one for Waluigi in at least one of those because
he's an assist trophy in Brawl.
I know he's an assist
trophy,
so yeah, so he must have one. So he must have some sort of backstory in there because they have like all the fluff and. Lore.
That's a good
and
point. I'm going to look this up, see if there's a Waluigi trophy description. We got to get to the bottom of this guy. Let's see here. There's Smashpedia. Alright, trophy description in Melee. This tall, thin, evil-looking guy seems to be Luigi's rival. Seems. See, they won't even say. He works hard at his mischief. Waluigi reportedly spent a lot of time training for his... Reportedly.
You see? His name's Barry. He's a fake, I'm telling you.
Spent a lot of time training for his debut in Mario Tennis by honing his ability to antagonize the Mario Brothers. While it's general knowledge that he's the same age as Luigi, his relationship to Wario is unclear.
I think I win this argument, gentlemen. Yes.
All right, he has one in Brawl as well. A twig-thin man who sees himself as Luigi's ultimate rival.
Okay, yes, sees himself. Definite. Exactly.
Yeah.
He spent a long time working silently in the shadow of the Mario Bros. Before finally becoming strong enough to compete with them in Mario Tennis. Since then, he's had many brilliant game appearances. While the nature of his relationship to Mario is a mystery, the pair have hatched some devious schemes together.
It's pretty non-committal as far as things go, isn't it?
I think that this just makes him even more interesting. There's so much depth and room for a game to explore. Who is Waluigi? Why is he obsessed with the Mario Brothers and Waluigi? I mean, and Wario. Like, why does my cat keep meowing so noisily in the background?
That one I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think, let's see, going on our list. All right. Well, reason to root for him, some form of empathy. All right. Yeah, you have that, Steven, in that he's, you know, the underdog. A possibility at redemption.
Well, if he gives up the facade, then yes.
Can Waluigi be redeemed, Steven?
Yes, because I feel like ultimately he's here because he likes these guys. He wants to be one of them. And if they would just accept him and he would just become a little more mature, I think he could be one of the you know, the four famous plumbers.
All right. And this is more shallow, but does he have a cool hook about him? Something that makes him memorable?
Yeah, he's the antagonist to Luigi.
Not even being Luigi is a cool hook.
It is these days.
That's a good
point. Yeah, especially in the year of our Luigi, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get Year of Waluigi next year.
Yeah, you guys do realize we have to start counting from zero again now. This is 1 year of Luigi.
That's a good point. And like everything before it was before Luigi.
Exactly. BL and AL.
Yep.
Look,
yep.
Let's just ease into this. I'm going to go and start a petition for the long weekend of Waluigi, and we'll see what we can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get that within the year of Luigi? I've heard it. The theory floated that next year is going to be the year of Yoshi.
Possibly.
Well, there are like two different Yoshi games coming out. He's got
it
a chance.
It just doesn't seem as interesting.
Come on, it's like an alliteration this time, though.
I mean, he might be a special Easter gift of his eggs Yeah.
Yoshi's likable. He's a great mascot. Yeah. He's not a villain, though, so it's a little off topic.
Is Birdo a villain still?
What?
Birdo,
I don't know. It's kind of turned into the Waluigi cast, which I think is what Steven was aiming for from the beginning.
Possibly.
Okay, well, to finish up on Waluigi, I have a quote, an idea from Charles Martinet, voice actor of Waluigi.
Okay.
This is from the Waluigi Wikipedia entry.
Okay.
And it says, when discussing Waluigi, Martinet stated that he would love to see a video game featuring Waluigi as its lead character, suggesting that the objective would be having to have Waluigi, quote, cheat to win. The response to the suggestion has been mostly negative.
Well, that's,
It would actually be really fun if you had a special ability in Mario Party where you could just cheat constantly. Everyone played as Waluigi then. He just like start walking across the board, regardless of what he
wants. No, what about a Waluigi game where he stars in a platformer, like all the other Mario games? However, he's constantly breaking the third wall and cheating to give himself the fourth wall.
He's like jumping.
I'm stuck on this third wheel concept.
All right, go on.
And constantly cheating to give himself power ups, and I don't know, stealing the.
So it's like Deadpool, but with Waluigi.
Why not have a Waluigi-Deadpool crossover? Surely that's the next step.
Oh no, a better crossover for Waluigi-Dead. Surely.
I actually found that funny for no reason.
Is this a bunch of zombie Waluigis, or Waluigi running away from a bunch of zombies?
I think we've been talking about Waluigi for like 25 minutes.
All right, we'll move on.
I'm not complaining!
Alright,
this is a great podcast.
Next general question. Does anyone here find that villains make more interesting characters than heroes?
Oh, God, yes.
So, why?
Because they actually have a character most of the time.
Alright. What about you, Luke?
I think yes, but it's just because if any effort goes into writing at all, which it doesn't usually in video games, but if any effort goes into writing at all, more effort seems to go into a villain almost by default, because heroes are generally just lazily written. Because
they're just going
to
be ciphers.
Exactly. You don't need to think about it. As long as you put a few qualities in so they're the good guy, okay, move on. What do we write next?
Yeah, that is one of my biggest biggest problems with video game writing, especially I find in Japanese RPGs and the like. That was one of my biggest problems with The Last Story. It's just these characters that have no personality. They just do the right thing in quotation marks, which is always an ill-defined just sense of goodness. And they have absolutely no character.
That reminds me, actually, have you played, because I know it had a delayed release in America, Pandora's Tower?
No, that's the one of those I did not play. I played Xenoblade, and...
Because that has a protagonist where, I mean, it's not the most fantastically written game, but it it does have a protagonist where he's not just like 100% pure. The whole idea basically is he's going to kill these monsters to basically save a woman that he loves, who she's gradually turning into a monster, and she needs to eat like the flesh of these monsters constantly to revert back to a human form, and he has to ultimately kill these. I think it's 12 or so, like, biggest,
this
most important
demons.
Like
a complete ripoff of Shadow of the Colossus.
It does, but it's it does. And
sounds more fun, though.
In the art design.
Wait a sec. No.
Stop the podcast. Stop the goddamn podcast.
I've been trying to play Shadow of the Colossus for a while now, and it just feels so tedious.
Heaven!
All right, I dropped Sean from the call.
he actually has.
Whew, thank goodness. When we were going to get this poisonous barb out of our side.
All right.
He's ruining all of us. Let's carry on without our
all
new
right.
member.
Oh, okay. Hello. Yeah, way back in. Hello, Sean.
I thought you... Did you...
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was just double checking.
This is what happens when your host has a bit of a temper.
Yeah.
You know what?
Sorry, Shadow of the Colossus is just like the best game ever made, pretty much ever. So
we can stick with Shadow of the Colossus and stay on topic though, because in theory you're actually playing as the villain in that game.
That's a good point. You are. I mean, especially at the end. Which I will not fully spoil since Sean needs to play this fantastic game, but it's pretty made pretty obvious that you're playing the villain.
Well, I've got a Vita now, so I'm gonna do the thingy thing so you can remote play it. I think that'll probably be the best way.
Cool.
Sit in bed and I can cry when I'm not enjoying it.
Oh, geez. Have you tried Eco?
Not yet. That's the next one on the list.
All right. That's fantastic too.
Sorry, I can't go so I can cry when I'm not.
That's how Sean plays most games. Just sitting there. Tears falling.
Especially the end of Walking Dead. Ugh.
Well, that one makes sense, yeah.
It didn't get me welling up in the slightest because I saw the ending of that series coming from about halfway through episode 3.
Me too. Like, at the exact same point when they were on the car.
Yeah,
the train and she is sleeping. Yeah, I saw the entire ending, ahead. Yep. But I predict plots a lot, so I never know the, what in most.
Well, you know, back to kind of why protagonists are boring compared to villains.
Right. Yes.
I think one big reason is because the heroes are just running around reacting to things. But the villains are the ones who have to do things and make things happen and hatch plans.
That's a good point.
They have to have motivations, they have to have reasons to take over the world, reasons to destroy your innocent
farmhouse.
Yeah, often
the hero is just stopping the villain. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's his whole thing.
And on top of that, the hero can be default, whatever the basic sense of morality is. The villain has to have a reason.
Exactly.
Or something.
It's like, so hero, why are you doing this? Because
I want to save the world.
It's right. I need to. Something is happening to me. Well, the villain, why are you so evil? Because I desperately want to do this. Or, you know, it has to be some reason. You don't just destroy the world because you have to.
Well, except Eggman. Kind of feels like it's just default.
Yeah, you're right.
Would I be right in thinking nobody else here has played Knack?
You are correct.
Yeah.
I'm on a PS4.
Yes, because the story in that actually tries to address exactly this issue and question why Knack, the protagonist, is going along with everybody else on his side and doing what he's doing, and also attempts to explain why the goblins are doing what they're doing and paint it as not black and white. But it fails miserably because the writing is terrible. As I said in the review, you just can't raise high drama with people who have noses bigger than their feet. It just doesn't work.
Wait a minute.
Are you crashing my Waluigi idea?
No, because in Wind Waker, the nose-foot ratio is, it's amusing rather than ridiculous.
What about
important distinction.
Gruntilda?
I don't know if Banjo-Kazooie is high drama.
I don't know. I was riveted from start to finish.
That's the thing. Knack, see, because Knack takes itself so depressingly seriously 99% of the time. It's like it's a script for a live-action, hard-boiled film most of the time. And, well, yeah, I don't even need to finish that sentence.
Yeah. Okay. where were we in the, oh yeah, villains more interesting than heroes. I think, yeah, absolutely it is a problem, especially among games writing. I find when I've created characters in the past for writing books or whatever I was doing, when I'm lazy about it, I can make a lot better villains than I can make heroes, because I give the villains interesting motivations, I give the villains thought.
Yeah,
and with heroes, it's so easy to say, well, this guy's a nice guy, so yay, I'm done.
Well, to be fair, the heroes always have it slightly more difficult, because they have to really work to be good, when they could so easily be evil.
Yeah, I think that you're hitting on one thing that makes a really good villain is, you know, or villain, good hero is the idea that the hero is not good by default, but he has a reason and an action to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes to the writer. The writer's responsibility is there's no reason the hero should automatically be doing this either. So you need to write a reason. I think, this isn't a video game example, but like, Buffy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, what else it should be from, was a really good hero, because within the first season, there was, at the finale of the first season, this idea that the prophecy said she would have to die. And instead of just accepting that, oh, I have to die, I'm the hero, she completely revolted against that idea and had a breakdown because she didn't want to die. She was a 16-year-old girl that didn't want to just die for someone's prophecy of being a hero.
And also, it was very profitable and they wanted a season two.
Well, she actually, it did end up dying. They brought her back to life.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's Harry Potter all over again. What a cop-out.
Harry Potter all over again, before Harry Potter came out.
Yes.
Well, if it's any consolation, they killed her again. But that's a whole other story. But I think that idea of the hero not just always going along with it for some sense of rightness is really good. A good way to make them interesting. Let's see here. So the next question is, do you all have any examples of playing as the villain being really fun or done well in a game?
Overlord.
No.
Overlord. That's the first one that
I have a great one.
Okay.
Darth Vader from The Force Unleashed, which was the best part of Force Unleashed.
Was that the intro bit?
That was a little prologue where you got to throw Wookiees everywhere.
Yeah. Sorry.
It was cool. I liked how you couldn't run. That was very Darth Vader-ish.
He can run. He just chooses not to.
Can he run in the Battlefront games?
He like floats, I think. Or is that the Emperor?
Something. I think he just glides around a lot.
He like walks and then glides, I think. Yeah, it's really good.
But I mean, it was only one level, and it was just the intro where you got to play as Darth Vader and decimate everything. But I enjoyed that because it felt like the gameplay was built around that character. You felt like Darth Vader the whole time. You weren't running around and you weren't
doing dodges and
executing
stuff.
Super attacks that you couldn't imagine, you know, the Lord of the Sith in a giant mechanical suit pulling off. You basically just, you would stride around and force choke Wookiees and stab them when they got close enough. It felt convincing. And I feel like that's a big part of, I don't know, a big part of any character, but especially a villain, where you want to feel like that villain's unique cadence and that villain's unique power set, and I think they really nailed that.
I agree. Yeah, that was the best part of that game, because the rest of it wasn't. Well, we won't go into that.
well, we can, but
We really shouldn't.
No.
Especially not the sequel. All right, any other good examples of playing as a villain?
I think the thing with games, especially because it usually just defaults to being the hero, is the only other way you can do it is having a cop-out of saying one where you can sort of choose what side you want to do, like Skyrim or Infamous.
Oh, yeah. Dragon Age, that sort of thing.
Infamous was brilliant.
What I liked about Infamous is you could knock people to the ground, take them to the brink of death, resurrect them with your electricity to restart their hearts, and then knock them down to the brink of death, take them back out of your electric power, exactly, yes.
Actually, beating people is actually very morally acceptable in the Infamous universe.
Yeah. Although I did interrupt Sean, but unfortunately my freight train conversation carried on, so I think we should go back to him and see what example he had.
Yes, Sean. Go
ahead. Our fable.
Right.
You can be the bad guy in that. apparently not many people did, according to Mr. Molyneux.
I suppose there are a lot of like RPGs and the like that let you choose some side of morality. But oftentimes I feel like those are characters you create.
Yeah.
So you're just making choices rather than playing a crafted villain character and him being the protagonist of the game. I'm not saying this is an invalid way of being an evil character. Or
everyone here play through Knights of the Old Republic?
Yeah.
Never touched.
Many times.
Never touched it.
Oh, geez. All right, I'll leave that behind for a second.
One of the best plot twists I've ever seen in a video game is in that game.
Right. Do you like BioWare games, Luke?
I've played BioWare games.
Okay.
I
like Star Wars.
Who doesn't?
You'd be surprised.
Well, I finished Mass Effect 2 and 3. I thought very
good.
What about 1? I started it, never finished it because, but I have a very good excuse in that, both of my Xbox 360s died before I had the opportunity to. So,
Mass Effect 1 is one of the hardest games to finish.
I found it much easier than 2 to finish. Like, in my opinion, 2 was the worst of the 3.
I haven't played 3 yet, but I actually do agree with you that I like 2 less than 1, and I don't see that opinion from many people.
I find that the combat...
Oh, yes.
It was really janky in the first one, but it was actually fun. In the second one, it's like, you have all these weapons that apparently have the same... sort of ammo system, yet the ammo system only works for particular weapons, so you never really get to use what
I'm not a big fan of, the armor shield health thing, where it's like, now I have to switch to an armor-breaking weapon, now I have to switch to a shield-breaking weapon. It gets old. It gets old really fast. And
especially if you play on Insane.
Oh, jeez. I don't. I think I turned it down to, like, easy eventually, because I very rarely do that in games, but it was combat that it's actually just slowing me down and annoying me. And not adding much.
Well, I hate the combat in all Mass Effect games.
Fair enough.
I kind of want to get to 3 to play it on the story thing that just skips all combat. I would be interested in doing that.
The story was better than 2 for the most part.
Right.
Sort of ramps down a little towards the end, as you can probably imagine from all the kerfuffle that it caused online.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Did you not like the ending either?
I didn't mind the ending. I thought that the writing went downhill about 3 or 4 planets before then.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think I actually might end up finishing the Mass Effect series, because I'm probably like 2/3 of the way through 2, and then if I could play through 3 without combat, I could probably get through it quick enough to finish it out. There were good points to that series, I just didn't always love the writing and world they created. I think they started with something stronger in 1 than they carried forward in 2.
Who's played L.A. Noire?
I have.
I wish I hadn't bothered, but yeah, I did. I finished the story. I didn't do all the main bits because it's just not worthy of my time.
Okay, I won't talk about the characters in that then.
Well,
I hear he goes downhill, so maybe it's like playing a villain?
I think you should, as long as Brian and Steven don't mind.
I don't. I've heard a lot of plot spoilers about that game.
I almost stopped playing it.
I don't care
either.
So I was so close to just not finishing the game because I hated Cole Phelps so much after the thing that he did.
What was that thing out of curiosity? Like, did you find it was well written and well done for playing as a villain?
Not really. I just hated him as a person. Like, he was sort of, he's one of these, clear-cut sort of, I'm the good guy, I always do the right thing throughout the first bit. And then he slowly, becomes, he starts to cheat on his wife, and that was the bit which, and then it gets revealed in the media and he loses his position, and I hated him as a character, because it's one of those ones where you get to do most of the options in the game yourself, but then that bit was sort of, it sort of tried to force you so hard down that bit and you couldn't change anything and wasn't
for me. There a scene where he had to sit down and his wife was interrogating him?
No.
That
probably would have been good.
Reversal. And you had to start choosing answers to give instead of interrogations to make. That would actually be great. Yeah, I want DLC where you get to play as his wife investigating him. that would be great.
It sounds like
they did their job there, making him hateable. But what were you going to say, Luke?
I was just going to say, I neither liked nor disliked him because the writing in that game is absolutely terrible. It doesn't help that all the people look like they made a plasticine. But
but if you play black and white, it looks better. Like, tons better.
Maybe it does. I didn't do that. But it wouldn't have done with writing any favours. I mean, especially when you eventually find out who the murderer is, you're like, no, I remember the specific scene where you showed us it wasn't him. And on top of that, it's blatantly obvious it was him. It's from very early on in the game, it's very obvious that it's him. And despite the fact that the game lies to you about what happened during at least one of the murders, it's still obvious that it was him. And then it's supposed to be like this big reveal on, aha, it's me. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know.
That is one way to hide a plot twist I hadn't considered before, which is blatantly lying about it.
Yes.
I thought the main killer, I thought the killer was someone that we hadn't seen at all, and it was...
Oh, no, no. But that's the thing, because I knew it was him instantly, even though he only very briefly appears, because he's a bartender, and Yeah, because basically he's the only character that had any sort of contact with all the victims. And although it's just supposed to be mentioned in passing, because the whole thing is so terribly presented, it's like a spoiler klaxon for anybody who's watching the TV with a sound on, and you can't possibly miss it. But yeah, no, and on top of that, I couldn't like or dislike him in the way, you know, during the interrogations. Because, of course, you had, like, a few choices of what to say to people. And whereas what you intended was to suggest something or just try and find a bit more information, and he automatically turns around and accuses them of murder. So, what? No, I just wondered if he'd been in the house.
And that's often what would happen to me in Mass Effect, yeah. I'd be like, oh, that looks like a fine option. Whoa, Shepard, I did not intend for you to do that.
That is pretty much the standard for L.A. Noire, unfortunately.
Great.
So he was like...
So just basically put like two exclamation points on every dialogue choice you get. And that's probably what I'll end up doing.
Should have done. I mean, he just seemed like the ultimate siphon to me, not a character at all.
I found out something about Waluigi.
All right, go.
Charles Martinet again.
All right.
Why was I surprised?
Can we get him on the podcast?
I really hope so. But when asked whether Waluigi was a brother to Wario, Martinet stated that while he did not know, he felt that they were just, quote, two nice evil guys who found each other.
It sounds like a Nintendo-produced Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was interesting wording.
Charles Martinet kind of words everything like that, where everything's just really nice and happy. And so that's...
You wouldn't think that Moise Mario would be a pleasant person.
No, you wouldn't. Actually, Charles Martin is one of my favorite people in the world, so I'm just going
to
go...
He seems to be a wonderfully jolly individual. Canon. Yeah. All right, so this is going pretty long, so I just got one last question here, which is, do video games have good villains? I think we've answered no to that. And what do you think... What do you think could be done better for them, primarily? What do you think they're lacking the most?
Good writers.
There you go.
I think that's obvious, yes, but I think that it's really the heart of the matter because the villains they're creating are oftentimes very cool or interesting. You know, visually or mechanically, I think video games kind of have it down. But just when they open their mouths, you just hear the same thing over and over again.
Right.
About what they plan to do and why this world must be burned and just all these tropes just start flying to the air.
Right, right. Yes, I was recently playing through Myst 4, which, while I listed it, had good villains. Earlier in the Myst games, the writing got really bad in Myst 4 compared to the rest, and there was just this scene where the villain was just saying, and then I will do this, 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 to the point where the puzzle was putting the words of his plan in the right order.
Well, see, that's story to gameplay brilliance right there.
It was really ridiculous. Just like, when villains just read off their plans like that, they almost lose all semblance of being a person and become a plot device. Mm-hmm. Unless they have a really good reason to be telling the hero what they're intending to do. Like, there's almost never any real reason for that except to get the plot across to the player. So, I agree that basically you're right, that a lot of the things around villains being created are pretty good, but the people writing them just aren't talented enough or whatever the issue.
It's probably not enough screen time.
Yeah, that's another problem, too.
Yeah.
Like, Vaas would have been better if he had more screen time. Like, I didn't like him because... Not enough screen time, basically. He could have been a better character, but... He was alright for what he was, but the other ones outshone him. And they had less time.
That is the difference between video games and movies, actually, is that, like, in movies or TV shows or whatever, they can spend four scenes following the villain around if they want.
Video games can do that in cutscenes, but primarily it's gameplay, so unless you're in the same room as the villain, you're not going to spend any time with them.
Sorry, video games can't do that. Have you heard of Metal Gear Solid?
I was going to bring that up earlier, but what example are you thinking of particularly?
I don't know, in 95% cutscenes.
Oh, jeez. you have a good point. You have a good point. They're pretty good cutscenes, though.
If you like remote controlled breasts and things like that, I suppose, yes.
What? Is that in 4?
This is infamous. Did you not know about this?
No, I've never heard of what you were speaking
about. Remote control.
Not you either, Sean. No, it's, what game? I think it's Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah, I haven't played that one yet. That must be it.
It's in, I didn't actually find out about this. I would like to stress before I finish the game, but in one of the scenes, if you like shake your DualShock 4, then you can, I think, again, it's a sentence I don't really need to, be finishing there, but.
I thought that was just a Ninja Gaiden thing.
Yeah, huh. So did I.
I don't believe you. That is nothing Kojima would ever do. I'm just going to sit here, and I can't wait to buy all the figurines and watch some cosplaying from the new Metal Gear Solid game. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Okay, so Kojima has his problems. That is true. But I really enjoyed the story of 1 and 2, just not 3 at all.
I haven't played 3 yet.
Okay. Well,
I haven't played 1 or 2, but have played and even managed to finish 3.
Oh, jeez. 3 is the one you played?
Yeah, the best thing about that game, of course, is that you can murder an old man in his wheelchair while he's asleep.
Oh, that is pretty awesome, though. I think the other great part is where you get to climb up a ladder and hear the whole theme song play, and it climbs just like endless.
Well, at least it was interactive.
Yeah, man, that game was. Hated that game so much, but I did love 1 and 2. Man, I had a point going into that, though. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, in video games, if you're done right, you know, you're not spending the whole time in cutscenes, so you can't really spend that much time around the villains. Some people have gotten around this by having villains, like, hijack a PA system, like the Joker in Arkham.
Handsome Jack's meant to be quite
Eggman good. And Sonic Colors. What were you saying, Sean? Any other statement that's true?
Handsome Jack's meant to be quite good in Borderlands 2.
Oh, yeah. I think they did something similar with him. I haven't actually played that game, but I do hear they did the same thing.
I haven't either.
Okay, that is kind of a new idea, which is having, like, the villain talk to the hero throughout the game to kind of build up that bond or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that about wraps it up. Any closing thoughts from any of you on the state of villainy in games?
I think we've learned a lot about ourselves today.
Okay.
Really? We've also learned a little bit about Waluigi.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's about all there is to know.
It's the most airtime the character's ever had in the history of the internet.
I'm really proud of that. and I think that a villain is just going to be as good as its plot and as good as its writers, and I think it's okay that they're not that great so far, because video games have come from a very strange, weird little place that was very shallow. And it's made great, 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 great strides. You know, it's gone from Asteroids to The Last of Us in a relatively short amount of time. So I think we can be patient.
Yeah.
That's a fair assessment. I agree.
Those are my closing thoughts. Thank you.
All right. Luke, any last thoughts?
I wish games were written properly.
You should become a game writer.
Yeah, so, yes, tell that to the industry, damn it.
All right, I'll tweet it later.
Wasn't he the one who thought up the shark thing?
I know that was you. That was you, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I said the shark was the villain. Luke just took it into his hands and made it a workable plot. See, this is what he can do. He can work with bad ideas. You should just wait to hear his shark dialogue.
I just blended it seamlessly into the existing scripts.
Exactly. And he unzips his suit and he's a shark. Yeah, it's perfect.
Can sharks talk above water? Do they growl?
Well, what's the one? Wait a minute, you don't have a problem with the fact that he's constructed a perfectly realistic human being suit, and you can't see the join in the zip, and he's walking around and acting like a human and plotting and using weapons and things and ordering other humans around.
Have you never seen street sharks?
Oh, yeah. But then they're sort of part human, aren't they?
Yeah.
Then they're not sharks in a suit.
No, they aren't.
They're part human, part shark, so.
Yeah, what we really need to be looking for good here, villains is in 80s cartoons. They had a lot of depth back then.
Oh, mm-hmm. You can't beat Shredder. Especially because he was voiced
literally, he always comes back. Yes.
Yeah, and of course he was voiced by Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh my God, was he?
He was, yes. Well, that's what made him so awesome, I think.
Yeah, did you ever get far enough in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to see the Utron plot?
Which game, which version are we talking about?
I don't know the version. See, I saw it in the games they released. The Utrons, which are like these weird little alien
people. I think
the
Utron thing is pretty old.
Is it?
Yeah, they just keep kind of retelling it and bringing it back and stuff. I don't know.
I saw it.
It
revealed that Shredder was actually an Utron in a Shredder suit. It was pretty dumb. Which kind of goes into the whole shark thing.
That's true.
No, I'm not taking that as canon. I respect the Ninja Turtles far too much for that.
Okay, good. Don't. It was really, really stupid. All right. As was the game, honestly. The great Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game is that arcade one, and that's it. I'm pretty sure. It's on Xbox Live. Play it. And with that, we are done here. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. Thank you, Steven.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I will hopefully not kick you off next time.
Yeah, thank you. I hope I haven't been too much of a burden.
Oh, no, not at all. That's all been on Steven.
It's only that one Shadow of the Colossus part that I view you as a great burden around my neck, like the one ring of power forged in the...
If you're right next to Mortar. Yep.
I just hope it's not as boring when I get to Ico. Because if it's anything like Journey, then that'll be boring.
Just
I'm kidding. I actually enjoyed Journey. Okay. It just wasn't
as
good as Walking
Dead. I was about to say,
because
if you're like, I need more excitement, I'm going to play Ico. Or you're not gonna like your next few hours. All right. And let's see here. Anything we need to drop? Anything exciting happening on the site, Luke?
It depends how you define exciting.
Anything.
Yes, we will continue to publish new content.
All right. Any reviews
that's
there recently or whatever?
It depends. When will this podcast be going up?
Steven has a lot of editing to do, so where do you think, Steven?
Do I have to commit to something right now? And if I do, I'm just going to edit it out.
Let's say within the next week.
Yeah.
Basically, by the time this podcast goes up, we should have a Killzone Shadowfall review up. We'll very soon be having a Doki Doki Universe review coming up as well within the same week. And sometime after Christmas, we will be having some catch-up reviews. Not quite sure how many, but I hope that's enough excitement for you.
All right, cool. And you recently were putting together, did you actually post the people's favorite games from, or their most memorable games from the last generation?
Yes, that went up recently. It's still there, unless somebody lost it. So,
I looked at it earlier, so it's there, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Still there at time of speaking, so if you head over to criticalgamer.co.uk, you can see what our favorite games of Gen were and get angry that we don't agree with you.
I will do just that after this podcast. All right, and let's see here. What is everyone's Twitter handle if people want to follow us on Twitter? Steven?
Mine is StephenKelly180.
Luke?
I am Jim Crikey.
All right, Sean?
And I am at Imperial Dragoon. Right, not that there's anything interesting there.
I actually always found that interesting because I have no idea what it's from or why you decided upon that.
Oh, because that's just the handle that I took. I wanted Dragoon for some reason or other.
Dragoon is pretty
Dragoon
cool.
64 was taken many a time, because obviously 64 being the best number because of it being Nintendo 64.
It pretty much is the best number.
Then I wanted to call my character Dragoon on Guild Wars, my favourite game of all time, and you needed to have a first name, so I opted for Imperial, because that's a standard Christian name, obviously.
Ah, so you went for a Guild Wars character name. Mine is a World of Warcraft character name. Mine is Lord Meldor. Spell it yourself. Hint, there's two R's in there somewhere. And that'll do it. So thank you for joining us. We will.
There are three R's total.
Well, that's true. I meant two in a row. Thanks.
I was trying to save his blushes, but someone had to say it. Thank you, Steve.
Not even I can spell it after telling people to spell it themselves for like 50 episodes into some of my voices. Anyway, if you want to find me elsewhere, though God forbid anyone actually want to do that, you can check out Disembodied Voices, which is the dbcast.com, and you can also find Steven there. And with that, thank you everyone for joining us. We'll try to have another episode 2 weeks from now, and, oh man, I can't do our Disembodied Voices catchphrase on this.
Nope.
Kanan Lynch.
You gotta think of a new one.
Jeez!
Ah, jeez. Because we always just say, have a week at the end of Disembodied
Voices.
How
about have a lovely double week?
Have a fortnight.
Have a fortnight. Good.
All right. Boom.